From WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, this is Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke. Today on the program, we'll meet the Masonic Wonders, who have been making gospel music in Milwaukee for more than a half century. Later, Nora Collins tries to make a name for herself on the country music scene from Brookfield.
You know, I've been to Nashville a couple times, but I decided this on my own, and I have also been told this, that it's best to stay where you're at and, you know, try to build a following there first and grow from there.
And Shannon Carey talks about her mid-career shift that led to launching the band Luray.
I was a social worker. I got focused on doing that. And then I, like in 2005 or 6, we heard this little bluegrass band in Vermont, and they had a banjo, and I was like, wow, you know, I think I kind of want to like learn a new instrument.
Lake Effect is next, after the news. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've been listening to some recently recorded performances on Lake Effect this week. Today, we feature three acts, all performing on stages around town this weekend. Alverno Presents Global Union has, for the past 8 years, featured world music from distant places, all on stage at Humboldt Park in Bayview. This year, for the first time, the festival will feature an act that might seem far-flung for some concertgoers, even though the group hails from Milwaukee's near North Side. The Masonic Wonders have been continually performing black gospel music in Milwaukee since 1956, when they formed the group at a local Masonic lodge. Two of the four original members, Charles McCollum and Charles Carter, are still with the quartet, and even the newer members, Sylvester McIntosh and Felix Willis, have been with the group for more than two decades. The group, which also features a backup band, has recorded two albums, and they've played gigs from Summerfest to local churches. Lake Effect's Bonnie North met up with them as they rehearsed at the Newborn Christ Baptist Church at 17th and Center.
He leads me with gladness, still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Well, it came to Milwaukee about August the 6th, 1956, and it's been going ever since. So this year, September the 21st and 22nd, we'll be celebrating 57 years of singing.
And you're also celebrating by singing at Global Union this year, which I understand is the first time a local Milwaukee group has been asked to perform.
Is that right? Well, we was one of the first groups that sung at the Summerfest. Well, what would that tell?
About 94,
95, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with this makeup, with all of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Gospel Fest, yes.
Okay.
It was us. It was us.
So how do you guys all know each other? How did you get together and decide that, you know, I mean, I know, sir, that you started the group, but how did these gentlemen get involved?
Well, one of the members that are deceased now brought Willis, and he brought McIntosh. I brought Carter. So that's the way it goes. This guy has been singing with me for 57 years.
I started singing with him about 2 months after they got started, and I couldn't even sing at all, so they took me in and taught me how to sing. Now I keep them in line.
Did you know each other in church? Is that how, were you friends? How did that work?
I met him in church. We're going to a church by the name of the Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. At the time, it was on 5th and Valete. And that's why I met him. And I asked him about singing and so forth, and yeah, I can sing.
So you lied in church?
I really did. I knew nothing about singing with a group. I couldn't even keep time. So after I got started with them, and it's been a part of my life. I think it kept me straight. It kept me out of jail. I've been singing with them for 57 years and I've never been in jail. So I think that kind of kept me straight. So I can't give it up now.
What was it about Charles that convinced you to do it, since you didn't know how to sing?
Well, I think I lacked the guys when they come by. It was some guys that I just lacked. I liked to deal with them, and we'd go out together at night, and I just like brothers. So, and then we got started singing, and they said, well, you sound pretty good, so, and every time, and I just like it more and more. So, I guess I'm here to stay.
And what about you, gentlemen?
Well, I've been with I'm 34 years. So I met, like you say, I came through Arthur Mitchell, James Mitchell. You our runner had a store at the time, so we started coming and we just got to talking, you know, and the other guy we sat around singing a little bit inside in the store, and he heard us, so he invited me to come to a rehearsal, and I've been there ever since.
So are you the most recent of the four, or is that you?
I've been there 34 years.
So right.
I'm the youngest.
And how many years for you?
Oh, about 25.
Just a youngster.
Yeah, just a youngster, just beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Just learning, yeah. Actually.
And like he said, Brother Mitchell was the one that, I was singing previously with another group, and he kept after me to come and sing with them. And after the group that I was with broke up, then I came, you know, and I've been here ever since. I don't have no intentions of going anywhere else with the Masonic Wonders.
What is it about singing like this that keeps you wanting to do it year after year? 57 years is a long time for any kind of a relationship, let alone a creative one where everybody often has different ideas about how things are supposed to go. Is it because this is praise music? Is it because you're doing this in service?
I think mostly religious world. That's my outlook on it. More for religious type things, socially, you know. Like I said, I enjoy being with the fellas, you know. Got accustomed to being around them.
Then we all are just one. Yeah. This is just one. We all decide the same thing. We have to agree. If you don't agree, you're not going to stay together. So we have to agree, and there's no big I's and little U's. We're here, be here to one another. One has got the best idea, that's the way we go. A lot of guys say, hey, you the star. No, we don't have no stars in the group. There's no star here. All of them, if it's a star, all of them are stars. Not just one person, you know. We don't believe in that.
All of the arrangements you do all together?
Yes.
And so everybody has to agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the way any musical group really has to do it. You really have to all feel it. Otherwise, it's not going to show up on stage.
Definitely. See, we can't get up on the stage fighting each other. You know, one want to do this, one want... It can't work that way. We all got to have the same mind. We all going in the same direction. So that's the way it's got to be. Or don't be nothing.
So what is the direction the Masonic Wonders are going in?
Well, we're trying to go higher. Higher heights in the Lord. We did a CD called Higher in the Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. Go higher in the Lord. This man made us, and he knows all about us. And he do all of the honor. He don't owe us nothing. We owe it all to him. So that's the way we see it, you know. We were raised up in church, and the Bible said, train a child while he's young. When he get old, he will not depart from it. You know? So that's what happened to us.
Look like it's working. Yeah. Look like it's working now. For 57 years, we can't turn it loose. For me, it's a ministry to me. And it really kept me straight, and I like singing. And when it's done good, I just love it, regardless of who it is. So we sound good to one another. We don't know what other people think, but we sound all right to ourselves, so that keeps us going.
Well, when it works, you know, it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, you know?
Yeah.
And you feel that, and an audience feels that when you feel it.
Yeah. Well, when you're singing, if you can't feel it, it's no use of singing. You know, it's got to be a part of you. You know, you got to feel it. If you can't feel it, you can't look for nobody else to feel it.
Your shadow on the upper Jesus. Let you down. Your shadow on the upper
You have one CD, two. Are there plans to do more?
I don't know. I'm kind of young now. So I don't know if they push me, I have to obey the group.
Well,
you know.
Group, what do you think? You have more tunes that should go.
We would like to do one more. We get in, you know, up in age now. At least one more. I wish we could do one more. Yeah, wish we could do one more. At least. Have some for our grandkids to listen at later.
Are there songs that you would particularly like to put on another album that you haven't recorded yet?
Yeah, we got some songs.
Well, we got a list and then of songs. That we could put on an album, you know. And I know once in a while he'll come up, Charles will come up with something new that's old that I very much enjoy singing. And this guy here, he loves the same. Lord Charles liked to sing most of the time, and I enjoy it, and very much, you know, them old songs.
Like
you
what?
Know. Oh, it. What's the last song that you sang for me, Charles?
You know what I like to hear you sing. There's so many of them. I can't think of all of them.
Jesus will help me when I need him most. Yeah, then Jesus saved my soul. You know, those different songs that were. We sang. We don't have those on the CD, but we sang songs that we all like, you know. And then if we sang something that don't nobody like, we change it and go somewhere else, come there with something different. You know, everybody have to be satisfied with this, you know. Not just one person. It's no just one person thing. This is united group, and you know we have to all be satisfied with what we're doing. Other than that, it won't work.
Well, you just did a really interesting version of Amazing Grace. I loved that because I've never heard it done quite that way. Where did that come from? Because you segued beautifully from another hymn into that, but it was so different. I mean, I immediately knew it was Amazing Grace, but it was different.
That was another song that kind of come into that. It was a lonesome journey from, I think, Charles and Amos.
Yeah, my brother brought that song to the group, and we've been singing it off and on ever since. And so, right then, we got another way that our brother McIntosh sang it. We sang Amazing Grace two different ways. So,
give me a little taste of that.
Yes, a little country fire.
Just a little country fire? A
little bit.
Okay. We actually did this one with Steve Cohen and Peter and the band.
Okay.
Steve Cohen put in a harmonica part for us. Released it as a single.
Usually this on his song, Charles sang bass on.
Yeah, he does bass.
Oh, so this is where you actually get to sing the bass.
Yes. That's good.
He can sing.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves me. I was blind, said again, oh, amazing, sweet,
saved,
you know I want, but right now, I was blind,
listen,
I came just said I was weary, wounded, and sad. You know I found in him a resting place, and he made sing amazing.
Charles McCollum, Charles Carter, Sylvester McIntosh, and Felix Willis are the vocalists that make up the Masonic Wonders. The group's on the bill at this year's Alverno Presents Global Union tomorrow afternoon at Humboldt Park. They spoke with Bonnie North, and you can see photos from the recording session and hear all of the songs at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. The Masonic Wonders started playing together in Milwaukee in 1956. That's almost 40 years before our next guest was born. We'll chat with Brookfield's Nora Collins about a musical career she hopes will last that long when we return on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. We're featuring interviews and music performances recorded in and near the Lake Effect Performance Studio on today's show. Before the break, we heard the seasoned voices of the Masonic Wonders ahead of their performance at Global Union Saturday. The voice you're hearing now is as polished as some musicians twice her age. It belongs to Brookfield's Nora Collins, who's still in her teenage years but has already collected two Rising Star Awards by the Wisconsin area music industry and has opened for some major names on the country music scene. Collins dropped by the Lake Effect studio recently to chat and play a few songs, including this original called Harley. That's Harley, Nora Collins in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thank you so much, and welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Do you remember the first time you picked up a guitar?
I first picked up a guitar when I was in fourth grade. So I was 10 years old, and I took lessons for a summer, but then I set it down, and it laid in my room for 4 years until I picked it back up when I was 14.
What made the difference? Why were you just not ready at 10?
Well, I think I just really didn't like practicing. You know, and I just wanted to play songs. I didn't want to, you know, learn the scales and everything. So when I picked it back up when I was 14, I remembered four chords that I learned, and I taught myself how to play again by writing a song.
What was that song? What do you write about when you're 14?
Boys. The first song I wrote, it was called Every Time, and it's the first track on my very first CD, Red Chuck Taylor's.
What do you think made the difference between the time you were 10 and 14? Were you listening to a lot of music in that time?
Well, I've always listened to a lot of music. I mean, I grew up with, you know, my dad always had the radio playing. I guess the real difference was I was playing because I wanted to when I was 14. You know, no one was forcing me to do it, to practice and learn the scales. So,
Where does writing a song start for you? I mean, you talk about the first song you wrote when you were 14, but today when you want to write a song, do you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write a song now and then try to channel something? Or does it just strike you when, you know, you're at the grocery store or you're playing or you know, where does it start?
Now it kind of comes when a thought comes to me, you know, or I see something that sparks an idea, and then I try to sit down and go through it, but I never try to force it.
How long does it usually take? I mean, how do you know when you have it right?
Every song is different. When I wrote my first song when I was 14, you know, that took 10 minutes. You know, it's a very simple song. And now, you know, it can take, you know, a couple hours or maybe even a couple days. You know, it depends on, I guess, that day and, you know, what's going through my mind and if I'm on a roll or if I'm not.
Do you throw out a lot before you get to the point where you've got something that you're happy with?
Well, I've learned a lot about songwriting in the past year. And so I now do throw out a lot of stuff and I go back and I make revisions because I want to make sure I'm writing the best song I possibly can.
Who has made the difference? How have you learned about songwriting and especially in just the last year?
Well, I'm a member of NSAI, which is Nashville Songwriters Association International, and there's a Milwaukee chapter and they meet once a month. And they talk about the different aspects of songwriting and how to craft a song. So I've learned a lot there. And also, I had the awesome opportunity to write with Willie Porter. And the song we wrote together actually is the title track of my brand new CD. But he really helped me to understand different points of songwriting that I didn't know before.
Where did your voice come from? You talked about how you picked up the guitar and then picked it up again 4 years later. When did the singing become part of what you do?
I've sung my whole life. I've always loved to sing. And the first song I sang was when I was three. It was My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion. And I was a member of our church junior choir, so I always sang in church. I was constantly singing. So that's always been something that I love to do. And
Well, we would love to hear you sing another song. What
sure.
do you have for us?
This next song is another song that I wrote by myself, and there's two versions of this song. There's a version that's on my brand new CD, Only the Beginning, and another version that's more of a poppy full band version. So here's I'll Pray for You. On your face, but a sense of sweetness in your eyes. If it wasn't for that lipstick stain, I would have believed your lies. Something about those baby blues, I always thought I'd have them to fall into. Turns out they were the key in your demise. I gave you my heart, you broke it in two. It'll be fine, I'm more worried about you. You're lying, cheating, some day gone. Lucky for you, broken hearts are mendable. Not even the Lord could save your sorry soul. You dug the grave in which you what you deserve. So for now, I'll walk away. And even though you've been quite the jerk, well, I'll let karma do my dirty work. I don't want your blood on my hands. Oh, no. I gave you my heart. You broke it in two. It'll be fine. I'm more worried about you. Cheating, some day gone. Lucky for you, broken hearts are mendable. Not even the Lord could save your sorry soul. You dug the grave in which you rose.
That's Nora Collins in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thank you so much. Excuse the awkward nature of this question, but sure. How old are you?
I'm 19.
What is the hardest part of this business for you at this point?
I guess trying to balance everything. I'm also going to school, and but I'm also, you know, I'm very serious about the music thing. I'd love to make music my career. And so trying to balance between school, doing, you know, the business end of the music, and also, you know, writing songs and learning new covers. And I have a very busy performance schedule, so it's a lot, but it's what I love to do.
Well, and you mentioned the business aspect of the equation, and it seems unlikely nobody becomes a musician so that they can be a small business person, but it's such a necessary part of the equation unless you have a big label behind you. How much work is the marketing yourself aspect of it?
It's a lot of work, but I'm very lucky. I have a lot of help from my family, and you know, it pays off for sure.
Who have been the people you mentioned, Willie Porter? Who have been the other kinds of musicians, either in the Milwaukee area or outside the Milwaukee area, that have played a role in helping shape who you are?
You know, I've had a lot of awesome opportunities to open for a number of wonderful national artists. And, you know, I think by having those experiences and getting to talk with, you know, most of them, that has really shaped me. I've gotten to hear their experiences and their encouragement. You know, that's been really wonderful for me. And, you know, Willie Porter was really a big one for me.
Well, what's the best piece of advice you've gotten from maybe a group you've opened for?
I would say the best advice is to, you know, I've been to Nashville a couple times. But I decided this on my own, and I've also been told this, that it's best to stay where you're at and, you know, try to build a following there first and grow from there.
What is it like to go from playing gigs in the Milwaukee area and in and around Brookfield to walking into Nashville, where I would hazard a guess that the country music scene is maybe a little different than Brookfield, Wisconsin?
Sure. I mean, in Nashville, it's, you know, everything is country, 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 country. And here, it's, you know, there's all different genres of music. And so that's really nice, being in Milwaukee. You get to hear all different genres. And in Nashville, it's just there's so many people there all trying to achieve the same goal.
Do you feel like you can be a bigger fish in a smaller pond if you stick around here?
That's what I'm hoping for. You know, I'm trying really hard to build a following here, because I think it's very important to have the support of, you know, your hometown. And, you know, I've noticed, too, that people from Wisconsin are extremely supportive. I love it here, so I'd prefer to stay here for now.
You've had some big fish moments. You've been recognized by the Whammies, among
yes.
others.
Yeah, I am very honored to have been named Wisconsin's 2012 and 2013 Whammy Rising Star. And also for the 2013 awards, I was nominated for Female Vocalist of the Year, which was a big honor for me.
Do you think it adds a little bit of pressure when you're named a rising star? Do you have to is it tough to live up to? You have to, in your mind, think, well, if I'm a rising star, I need to be a star down the road.
No, I don't feel any pressure about that. You know, obviously, I love music and I'd love to make it my career. And, you know, if I become a big national star, that would be fantastic and amazing, and I'm sure I would love it. But if I just, you know, stay in Milwaukee and play like I am now, you know, I'd still have a wonderful time doing it. So it's wonderful to have that title and be recognized for my hard work, but I don't feel any pressure.
It must be something at the same time to be 19 and have two CDs under your belt.
Three CDs.
Three
actually.
CDs, I'm yeah. sorry.
Oh, it's okay. You know, I realized when I was 14 that this is something that I really wanted to pursue, and I wrote enough songs to record that first CD, and I got some wonderful feedback. And a song that I wrote called Don't Slow Down, that's on that first CD, I made a music video for it, and the music video made the top 16 in Country Music Television's Music City Madness contest. And so that gave me, you know, a lot of encouragement to continue, and that I was, you know, kind of going on the right path. So then I kept writing songs and recorded my second CD when I was 16, Run Away With Me, and just finished my brand new CD, Only the Beginning, in June. So I'm very proud of what I've been able to accomplish so far.
I think you said you're just about to film the next music video, right?
Yes. Actually, I filmed the music video for I'll Pray For You a couple months ago. And so it's in editing right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. It's the same director that did the music video for Dimples Filled With Lies, which is off of my second CD. And that music video is being featured nationally on Zeus Country. So hopefully I'll Pray For You will end up in the same place.
I always wonder, when you're a musician and you're filming a music video, you have to play the song over and over and over, and maybe just even snippets of the song over and over and over again. Does it ever feel like, I don't know, an out-of-body experience to be playing your music in a way where you're not really playing it the way you wrote it? You're playing it because they need multiple angles on you.
You know, it's just kind of fun. It really is. It's a different experience, something that not a lot of people get to do. I've had a lot of fun with the music videos that I've done. It's weird, you know, singing along to yourself, but it's just so much fun.
What have the most rewarding concerts been for you, either places or how do you know when you've reached the audience the way you want?
Sure. I've done some charity work, and I've for the Alzheimer's Association. I Heart Nashville was a flood relief concert when there was the big floods in Nashville, and a number of different organizations. And, you know, that's always just very rewarding and makes you feel good that you're doing what little you can and help make a difference. And I guess I know that I've touched someone with a song when they come and tell me. You know, they say, oh, I really love that song. I connected to it. And that means a lot to me.
Well, Nora Collins, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And when you are world famous, I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And what else can you play for us to take us out?
Sure. This is another song that's off of the brand new CD. I wrote this with my friend Kevin Kirk. It's a song about broken promises. It's called Nothing to Do With Me.
Nora Collins' latest CD is called Only the Beginning. You can find a link to more about her, including her schedule, which includes a gig this evening at Zafiro's in New Berlin, from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then a former UWM social work student rolls back into town this weekend with a completely different career. We'll hear the distinctive sound of Shannon Carey and her band, Luray, when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.
Blame it all on me for what you did. Had nothing to do with me. And bend the arm of corn. Take a measure of a town.
More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Shannon Carey used to live in Wisconsin. She grew up in Lake Geneva and last called the state home when she was earning her graduate degree at UW-Milwaukee. This weekend, though, she returns to Milwaukee having completely reinvented herself, or at least her career. She and her band Luray, named for a part of Virginia not too far from her now Maryland home, have carved out a niche in a genre that defines most attempts to label it. But people have tried, calling it everything from ambient bluegrass to chamber folk. It does bear some kinship, literally, to the indie folk of Eau Claire's Bon Iver. Carey's brother Sean, who is a percussionist and backing vocalist for Bon Iver, produced Luray's recent CD, The Wilder. Luray joined us ahead of a Saturday show at Linneman's and played a few songs, including this one called Already There.
Here's a quiet building on
Shannon Carey and Lou Ray. That was great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And before we get any further, why don't I just have you go around the room and introduce yourselves. Tell us who's playing, starting with you.
Okay, my name's Shannon Carey, and I play banjo and sing.
I'm Sarah Gilbert. I'm from Washington, D.C., and I play the keys and sing backup vocal and a little bit of acoustic guitar.
Thomas Jones, right here from Milwaukee. I'm filling in for C.J. Wolf, who is couldn't be on this leg of the tour.
Brian Cruz from Richmond, Virginia, and I play upright and electric bass.
I'm Gabe Wisniewski. I play the tambourine.
Well,
and also the guitar.
Well, thanks to all of you. First of all, you started with a track called Already There, and it features ukulele very prominently. And what amazes me is that you have this really big, deep, atmospheric sound, and yet the ukulele still manages to speak up in the middle of all of that. How did that emerge for you?
Well, I really like the ukulele. I never really played it before, and I just thought I would buy one and see what happens, and I thought this song would be perfect for it. I actually wrote it on banjo. That's my primary instrument, my like songwriting arm, but then I transposed it to uke. And yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Like it gives it like a shimmery effect or something. It's kind of weird. And
It's like a voice out in the wilderness.
Yeah. I love ukulele.
Now, the publicity materials surrounding the CD talk about how you, and I'll quote here, rediscovered your love of music in Northern California in 2006. And I want to ask about how that happened. But first, what happened to your love of music in the first place, that it was lost?
I know. You know, I always loved music. I think that maybe love is, you know, you never stop loving music, but you stop playing music sometimes. And I stopped playing music. I was a social worker. I got focused on doing that and, you know, friends and family. And then in 2005 or six, we heard this little bluegrass band in Vermont and they had a banjo. And I was like, wow, you know, I think I kind of want to like learn a new instrument. And then I also like had a dream later on that I got a guitar for Christmas, but I was like, oh man, I wish that was a banjo when I woke up. And I was like, I think I want to play banjo. So it kind of just started organically. Like I, you know, was like, I kind of want to learn a new instrument, and banjo was it. And I got a teacher and started playing bluegrass. Yeah, it did. It happened within a few months. Yeah,
Shannon came home and she said, "I'm not doing music as much as I want to." And then a week later, she said, "I really like that bluegrass band we saw." And then a week later, she was like, "I think I'm going to play the banjo." And then a week later, she had a banjo and a teacher.
Do you remember what the name of the bluegrass band you heard in Vermont was?
Yeah, no idea. It was like a little trio at a barn. Yeah.
Somewhere in Vermont, though, is this group that has had this major impact on your life.
That's true.
Yeah. Changed all of our lives.
Inspiration for all the little bands out there. If you think you're not getting heard, somebody out there is getting inspired. Totally. And that's what I love about playing music now is that somebody else who maybe doesn't play music anymore is like, whoa, like maybe I can learn a new instrument or go back to playing guitar or whatever.
And so talk about how that almost experimentation, how did it evolve into the sound that is with us today?
Well, I was playing bluegrass once a week with friends, and it was really fun. But I guess I wanted something that would move me the way that some of the other music I listened to did. And so I was talking to my brother about this, and he was like, you should just try strumming it. And I, you know, when you get into a certain like genre of music, like bluegrass, it was honestly so hard to break out of the way that you play. So it was a slow process. I had to just, you know, be like, okay, I'm just going to try playing without picks. Like even that was weird. I just started experimenting with covers. That's the first thing I did, like banjo covers of songs I liked in other genres, like. One of the first ones was a Tallest Man on Earth cover on banjo. You know, you have to just break your mental bonds of, like, what you can and can't play with an instrument, which now it seems normal to play it how I do, but it wasn't for a really long time.
Well, and then so I gather you from there you tap into the kinds of stuff that you like to write about?
You know, melodies always just come to me. We're always coming to me. So it's just a matter of capturing them. And then as far as lyrics, it's just what inspires you and like what you're thinking about and what you see at the time, I guess.
Well, I have a lot more to ask, but first I'd just like to ask you to play another song, if you would.
All right. Well, the next song is track, I think, 4 on the album, and it's actually called Lou Ray, however you want to pronounce it. And the song was written before I named the band that, but it was sort of the whole concept for the album, this song. And my brother, when he was producing it, he was like, I'm going to just really focus on Lou Ray and make it, like, perfect and just, like, try to just have that inspire the rest of it. And so it is named after Lou Ray, Virginia. We had been visiting Lou Ray right around the time I was writing the first songs from the album, and it really inspired this song in particular. And even though it doesn't have the word Lou Ray in it, I just named the song that.
There were dreams in summer, lines on a page where it all makes sense. There were times when I was afraid and you were afraid. Can we make it okay? Thank you.
How important do you see sense of place being to what this sound is all about?
It's important to me. I don't know if it's important for the genre or anything. I wasn't really around a lot of other bluegrass players or anything when I was learning bluegrass, but it's just what surrounds you in your life. And as far as place, I think that moving around a lot, which we've done, we lived in California for a few years. I'm from Wisconsin. We lived in New Orleans for a year, and then we moved to D.C. 2 years ago. I think that being in different places, it affects me more. I think naming something after a place is kind of natural, and like when you're working on a creative piece, it's so important where you are.
Do you feel like when you play this, you can hear echoes of the D.C. area and Northern California and Southern Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, mostly I feel like it's connected to Virginia and D.C. And now we live in Maryland, so it's like the three states are really close together. So, yeah, for me, when I sing Tidal Ground, like, I'm picturing that marsh. But there's also a marsh in Wisconsin that I visited that same summer, and all of it kind of comes together.
Well, and one thing that I noticed, actually, looking at all of you as you were playing, is that you all seem to be in a really content place when this music is coming out of your instruments and your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Is contentment where this comes from?
I mean, I'm content when I'm playing the music, but I don't think that the songs come from contentment. I think they come from more like a struggle against something. But I think when I'm playing the songs, it's such a triumph when you even finish a song and I know that what it's about and I know that I'm expressing that thing that I was trying to capture, that just being able to like play a finished song that I love and that I'm proud of, yeah, I mean, it's totally like I'm pretty peaced out.
And the rest of you?
Oh, yeah, it's a joy playing these songs. I mean, I feel like they could stand alone just with banjo and vocals, you know, and it would be just as beautiful, but I feel like it's like our job to just like add more beauty, and everybody here is, I mean, there's such great people and everything to work with and play music with.
I will say, as Shannon's partner, it was, you know, it was tumultuous times for us when we moved from California to the D.C. area, and she's like launching a whole new career. I mean, she's had been working in social work for a long time, and as she said, had always been a music lover, but like it's a fascinating thing to see somebody that you love struggle with a creative process. It's a really profound thing to witness, to be really close to, but it's also tenuous. It's like you hope to see the, you know, your partner emerge from the other side, like with that feeling of victory that Shannon talked about, that having accomplished mm-hmm. something. So I'm definitely proud of where she's gotten.
Well, it really shows through, and thanks to all of you. Best of luck with this, and thank you so much for playing for us.
Thanks
so much.
Thanks
for having us.
So before we go, what are you going to play for us to take us out?
All right. So we're going to play Tidal Ground. It's kind of written about this marshy ground near where we lived in Virginia when I wrote this. And I just wrote it about the seasons passing and how when you would go to the marsh in spring, it looked different than when you came in the fall, and then the passing of time. So that's kind of what this song's about.
Beneath this tidal ground, I'll follow you around. Beneath this tidal
Shannon Carey and Lou Ray recorded this week in Studio C1. They'll play Saturday night at Linneman's, along with Milwaukee's Juniper Tarr and the Thrift Tones. Carey's originally from Lake Geneva. She got her graduate degree from UWM. Her husband, guitarist Gabe Vishnievsky, went to Marquette. You can hear the full mini-concert they played at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That's Friday's edition of Lake Effect. Special thanks this week to studio engineer John Strelecki, who made sure our musical recordings sounded musical. We're also produced, as always, by Bonnie North, Dan Harmon, and Stephanie Lecce, with Amy Kiley, Eleanor Peterson, and Nathan Royster. I'm Mitch Tyke. There is a lot on the calendar around Southeast Wisconsin this weekend, so I do hope you get a chance to go out and enjoy some of it, and I sure hope you can be with us again tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 for Lake Effect Weekend from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next. It's 11 o'clock.
Here.